thinking of my message, and I was thinking the last time I preached and somebody mentioned Mary said I hadn't preached for a while, but that's because I enjoy Pastor Kelly and Pastor Jeremy so much. I want them to have their space. But God is doing some great and mighty things in this church, you know. And, I mean, the verse that I got in my heart was last week when I was in the recovery meeting and Pastor A brought it out. But it's in Lamentations, I believe, 2, 23 and 24. I'm just going to start right there real quick. And if they don't put it up, I'm going to tell you what it says, that his mercies are renewed each morning. His mercies, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Ernie was telling a brother today that those three boys didn't get consumed in the fiery furnace that Tommy sings about because God is a consuming fire. And if you're, and I was saying in the testimony, if you're where God has you to be, you still may get sick and get COVID. I got COVID. You know what? But I got healed from COVID. I'm not ashamed, but I didn't believe in COVID before I got it. And I still don't believe in COVID. I believe in the living God. I believe that when he died for my sins, he died for my healing. But, man, I sure took advantage of all that food Pastor K and Brother Jeremy were sending over. The only thing that almost whacked me was overeating, I'll tell you that. But I wasn't afraid of, because I said, you know what? When people are dying on TV and to the multitudes that they're saying and everybody says this and don't take the shot, take the shot. And, you know, I was laying there when I found out that I had that. And, you know, and I said, God, I said, man, I still owe people money. I can't afford to die, God. People won't get paid. I said, I don't want to die owing people money. I want to be debt-free like I've been testifying all these years that I've been working on. And I said, do I need to make a will? Do I need to call my lawyer and figure out where the insurance money goes and how to secure my wife? And you know what? I just had a peace. And all I could know is that what God told me is, why don't you just keep planning on living, and I'll tell you when it's time for you to die. And, you know, I quit worrying about it after that. I took the medicine, and I'm not against a shot. If you don't want to take a shot, man, I love you anyway. But God's mercies are renewed each morning. And, you know, I've looked at people, and I've judged them out of character. Kelly mentions this all the time. Jeremy has mentioned this. Pastors, they said, you know, man, if we ain't real super slick, we'll judge somebody for doing the same stuff we was doing 6 months ago, maybe last week, you know, just because nobody caught us, you know. His mercies are renewed each morning. It's of God's mercies that I'm not consumed, whether I wasn't a Christian or whether I was a Christian messing up. It's God's mercies, and it's you trying to work the covenant out with God, you know. Because of his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Does anybody else hope in anything else besides God in here? Once again, I go to there's a lot in life for you. Whether you have an apartment where my sister Brenda lives, or whether you have a nice house, or a place in the country, our house down the street that's all lit up like Christmas on Christmas. Tommy, he should have won that Christmas thing. I don't know about them other houses, but my vote was for Tommy's house. But you know what? God has a lot for you, but it's up to you to kick the devil out of your lot. I was going to bring a paper from the office. It's an eviction notice. You put your person's name on it. You put the address on it. You put how much money they're behind. You put a reason on it. And then to get somebody out, you have to serve that notice. And to really get somebody out, you have to get them to sign it to show that they got it. Because if you're in court and their signature ain't on it or their initials, they're going to say that they never got the notice, and then it defeats your purpose, which I had to do for some people. But, you know, all of us, every morning, because every morning I get up and I fall on the grace of God and I say, God, you know, you have all of my days in your hand. Whether I'm here, it's up to you, God. It's not up to me, but let me be at the right place at the right time. I fall on your mercies this day, God. And every night when I go to sleep, I call on the name of God and I ask him, God, thank you for your mercies. Thank you for getting me home safe. But every morning before I get out of bed, me and Cindy will pray. Either she'll jump on the prayer, I'll jump on the prayer, but we pray. And I know that we're standing right in the grace of God for that day. There's more to seek in God, but tithing is very important. This book right here, I love Mike Murdoch. I support this station. Every time I support this station, they say, you want a Mike Murdoch book? Send me the book. I'm going to give some to the jail one of these days. I got every one of them. Now if I give any money, I have to just say, send me another one of these, and I'm going to start blessing people with them. But in Mike's book, we were talking about anger this morning. It says, anger reveals an anointing, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing is a burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God in your life. So pay attention to whatever angers you. Something inside you rises up strong against it. We're not talking about being angry at your sister because she didn't give you no tamales or she didn't make you no breakfast. We're talking about anger, holy righteousness at God, just like my sister that stood up and told the devil he wasn't stealing her kids. You know, sometimes in life when you're telling the devil to get out of your house, sometimes in life when you're telling somebody that doesn't belong somewhere in a relationship, and you're telling them sometimes being nice or Casper Milquetoast doesn't work. Sometimes you have to use the anointing and the authority of the power of the Word of God, and you have to just lay it on them and say it all boldly. You know, because if not, the devil's going to just stay there. If not, you know. So I served this notice with love. You know, I've never served an eviction notice. I got asked to do that. They paid me. They asked me if I thought I could do it. I serve this notice and give the person groceries, and I give the person, go get some cookies for your kids. And they go and pick out a couple Girl Scout cookies, and I paid for them. And I said, now you got 10 days. And I said, you know, you may have a little extra time if the people are merciful on you, but you really need to be out. And then these people started calling me, and it was a day or two past. And, you know, I'd seen a truck and trailer there, and I went back on a Saturday because the people that asked me to do that, and the person wouldn't come to the door, which really annoyed me. And they sent their kid, this is the first thing the young kid said was, oh, my mom never got a notice. My mom told us she's never got served no papers. Well, you know, if I'd have sent somebody that didn't serve the papers, but I'm the guy that served the papers. I'm the guy that has the stuff that's going to the police station that has the power to send the law there, to write the ticket, that takes her to jail. That also, then the four kids that live in the house are victims to whatever, you know, could happen. And they're not going to be left there. They're going to be put in DHS. And I just explained that as nice as I could. But how do you explain something to somebody that you brought groceries to and that you helped and you told what's going to happen? And then after that, I just said, now I'm going to take this to the police station and just maybe you should wake your mom up and share this. And I did it. And the police told me that they had everything they needed Monday or Tuesday. They would go there, and everything I said was going to be true. And you know what? After that person found out that that was all legal and, you know, that they couldn't buy no more time, they got a trailer, and they got some stuff, and they got out of that house. And as far as I know, the owners sold that house, and the owners were good Christian people and allowed her to move in there and stay while she was in recovery. But somewhere during her recovery process, somewhere during her walk with God, she decided to step out of the will of God. She decided to get out of the secret place of recovery and decided to slip back. And you know, anytime I've ever dealt with somebody and they got like, well, that pastor wouldn't let me come back to the meeting. Well, you know, the owner said I could stay here for free. Well, yeah, for a time, but not for a year. Then you made a rental agreement. I said, they're forgiving you for this $1,800 you owe in 6 months' rent. They just want you to move. So I don't care what kind of BS the devil's going to try to feed you. You need to quit listening to the BS of the devil, and you need to, that's not a bad word, is it? I'm checking with the fact. You need to quit checking with the jive from people and the jive from the devil, and you just need to speak God's word like sister did over her kids. All right, I'm going to go to Matthew 6 and verse 9. So when you get up and pray, you don't have to pray this prayer, but this prayer is just a temporary prayer. That you got to pray something. Might as well be praying over your kids. Might as well be praying over your finances. I love this prayer. Now, my mother doesn't like it. I say, Lord, send the angels out today to bring me finances from the east, west, south, and north. Now, my mother or somebody says there's a proper way to say that, but however it comes, all I know is money starts coming from whatever way I said. I mean, I had a check come from Maine the other day. I'm having a check come from New Mexico. I'm having some money come from Texas or, you know, Arizona, somewhere in the sun. And the lady, you know, this is what she told me yesterday on the phone. She said, every time I've called you, you've answered my phone since my father has died. You helped my father when he was alive, and he gave you for whatever he wrote you to check for. She goes, my brother looked at these papers of what you made on the 6%, which is not all mine, but most, some of it is. And she said, he said, why did not you tell that guy to do this for 4%? Why did you not do a deal with him? And she goes, I am not, you know, I have to hang up on my brother because he got a bad spirit. I have to, you know, cut him off and hang up and pray before I can deal with him. She said, you take the other bills that you spent on this house and send to me, and then whatever you think I owe you extra, you put that down. I'm going to pay you extra for everything you did. Now, do you know how rare that is to find somebody? Because most of the people are like that brother. How cheap can we get you to do this? You know, will you discount it? You know, there's a time to discount stuff, but man, people don't want to pay for stuff. I don't want to work for them from now on is the way I'm feeling, because God has given me some gifts and some callings, and it's God that allows me to sell these. It's God that allows me to receive these. But I was so impressed that lady said, just figure out what I owe you. If I owe you extra for anything, you make a bill up and send it to me. So, I mean, I'm asking God what to do. And, you know, do you think I'm going to do that for nothing? I'm going to charge her something for everything. I'm going to charge her just for telling me that story about her brother wanting to beat me out of that money. That's got to be worth something. No, that's a joke, you guys. Pray after this manner. Therefore, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray this in recovery. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, when you get up in the morning, you should be saying, God, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, thy kingdom. Do you think anybody's sick up in heaven? Do you think anybody's broke up in heaven? Do you think some angels are scheming around talking about, you think God will give us a bowl of beans today and some cornbread? No, they got everything they need in heaven. And, you know, take authority and call in your lot in life. Sizes 140, 50 times 96.25. Those are supposed to be the exact measurements of a lot that's pretty close to this facility. You know what? Take authority over your lots in life. God wants you to have lots. You got children. You got grandchildren. You got seeds that you sowed that you haven't even got a harvest at. If God's got a better job for Tommy, I don't doubt Tommy could run that company over there if he wanted to, if God wanted him to. He could be a manager if he wanted to. I even believe better than that. Tommy could have his own business if God wanted to and Tommy wanted to. You know, I was telling a story this morning in recovery, and I love this guy, and he's getting better Christmas time. I just read about what the CEOs at Walmart make. One's making $2.5 million during this pandemic, and it's horrible, and I hate this company. And I thought, man, this company's paying me $22 an hour to listen to this guy's crap. I think this is a good company. But and then I said, man, I'm trying to figure out, God, I wish I could be that CEO. I know I can't, but thank you for that $300 bonus me and Tommy's going to get in 3 months, every 3 months. Thank you for the COVID money they've given us. You know what? You got to be thankful in life for what you have if you're ever going to get anywhere else. Ever anywhere else in life. Our Father, thy kingdom. God's got a kingdom. And you know what? I'm in God's kingdom. You know, there's some of us that started coming to church on time. I commend you. I applaud you if you come on time. Now, come 30 minutes early and see what else you can do. Get here 30 minutes early and say, hey, Pastor, is there something I can do to help? Can I do something in the back? I mean, you know what? All you got, God's got everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All you got is what you testify of. And, you know, I started testifying when I came in here. I still remember my mother. You'll be lucky if you make $100 a week here in Arkansas. You know, I mean, I was a bum on the street. $100 a week would have been a lot of money to me, considering, you know, I didn't have enough, but not even for a 40-ounce quart of beer when I came. But better than that, I got a job, and I started making like $500, $600 a week, and it wasn't no great job. You know, before long, I was praying for a better job. But, you know, God has so much. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, it's not on my notes, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or even think, according to his power that works in you. But it's up to you to get up in the morning and say, God, I want to be at the right place at the right time. God, bring in the finances I need. God, put me at the right place to meet the right people that's going to cause me to prosper. Put me at the right place at the right time that's going to cause me to witness Jesus to somebody. God, there's somebody you want me to lay hands on, and they're going to get healed. There's somebody you want me to speak into my life, how I used to be a drunken bum drug addict, living on the streets of Chicago, eating out of garbage cans, stealing, conniving. But then one day I came to Arkansas because I just said this prayer, God, if you get me to Arkansas, I'll give you my life. And I'll never forget that prayer. God, here's my life. I don't even have enough for a 40-ounce quart of beer. I had the clothes on my back when I came. God, I have nothing. If you want this life, you can have it. Forgive me for my sins. And I thought my life wasn't worth nothing. And people get saved, and they stay saved 20 years, and they still don't believe that their life is worth nothing. And God's paid an ultimate price of Jesus Christ dying so you could walk into healing, so you could go back to school and be a nurse, so you could go do whatever God's plan is. I don't know what God's Jeremiah 29:11 plan, but if it's to be a mom and stay at home, God will give you the power to be the best mom. He'll give you the power to get on the internet and put something pretty up about God. Put something pretty to encourage people about their kids. That, you know what? I tell everybody, hey, if you got the heart to have some kids, man, you're the best mom I know. If you got the heart, I don't care if your kids are coming up, kicking me, biting me, spitting at me. Hey, these are the best kids I've ever seen. But now they are going home with you, remember? And, man, the greatest blessing of my day today was when I took little Augie over there during praise and worship to give Brenda Babe just a little break. Plus, you know, like I'm old and grouchy, you know, sort of anti-kid, you know, at my house, you know, because my mess, I'm figuring they're going to get into something, you know, and I'll never find it again. But I'm holding that little kid, and he's just looking at me. And he's so dependent, you know, like he's looking like, who is this guy that has me? But I just started weeping as I was worshiping God back there and how beautiful life is. And then I was remembering Kayla years ago when she had moved in and they were believing God for a baby and the baby wasn't coming. And she had took the test at my mom's and I walked in and she was bawling and crying. The test wasn't positive. And, you know, and I looked at her and I remember hearing Kelly, God, I need some kids. If all these guys can have kids and they're not even serving you, I want some kids. And then when Kelly got the kids, she'd been pulling her hair out ever since. But I thought, Kayla, stop, slow down, go to the movies with your husband, enjoy life. God's got some kids for you. They're going to come. Just relax. Calm down. But now she's got like three boys, and I was looking at that third one. And God has everything you're asking him for. God, you know, I remember seeing Diana. I was telling somebody, I remember you were going through some problems. You needed somebody to move some stuff. I never felt like you were supposed to move that stuff in the first place. But however it happened anyway. But you know what? The best thing that I see is when I see you and your husband walk in this church, or I see you guys at Walmart, and I think, but God. But God. And whatever, if it's your kids, if it's your finances, if it's a job, but God. You know, the devil's going to lie to you. You know, I'm not going to tell Tommy, well, don't quit Walmart. Man, I've been quitting Walmart for 27 years now. I just managed to go make some money here and there and stuff and ain't let them starve me. And then I'm usually so tired that I don't want to complain like them other guys when I get over there. I'm thinking, this is the most rest I got all day. I ain't got people calling me about rent houses or nothing. But God will meet your needs and blow your mind. God will heal your marriages. God will keep you together in the midst of every storm. But you got to stay where God wants you to be. He who dwells in the secret place. You know, God has a place for everybody. And I believe this place should be full tonight. There's some people that ain't here. I'm not going to judge them. You know what? To your own self be true. But you know what? I know where I was supposed to be. And I know where I'm supposed to be on Sunday. And at 2 o'clock on Tuesday, I know I'm supposed to be at Walmart. There's places we're all supposed to be. If God tells you to be there, do it. Amen? So get in the kingdom. Matthew 6:33, it's a beautiful verse. I don't know if I said it yet, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I mean, it's not like God's mad at anybody, because the first verse I used said, my mercy is renewed each morning. You know, even if you screwed up, even if you got out of church, even if you, you know, just been lazy, even if you, you know, God forbid, cussed somebody out during the week or went off the deep end, you know, even if you called in for work, his mercies are renewed each morning, but God still wants you to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. God, I'm making it on time, but is there something I need to do? Can I go on Monday? Can I go help make some meals? Can I go sweep the, you know, we're going to do that tonight. But maybe God will want you to take a box of these groceries to somebody. I swear, I had a box of groceries and a gallon of milk, and I was going to take time to deliver them where I usually do, and God showed me a person that was like right on the way here, and I went in and I said, hey, could you use a box of groceries and a gallon of milk? It was at the store, people that I see all the time. She goes, well, how much for the box of groceries? I go, what? How much? And I didn't say I was selling groceries. I said, they're free. They're from my church. I mean, can you use them? Well, yeah. I said, okay, I'm going to bring them right in. But, you know, I mean, I could have argued. I mean, God didn't say, Sam, go do this now. I seen a picture of that girl. It just like, God, man, I got to do these groceries. Now, I give this other person groceries all the time, you know, and I haven't seen them. Now, maybe there's an inkling that this person might be thinking about coming to church or something. And, you know, and I hope she comes here, not just for the groceries, just because somewhere in Sam there's an anointing of God. And even though Sam's not perfect, he's not afraid to pray and grab you by the hand if you're sad or crying and you're at the Circle S, or you're at the laundromat, or you're at IGA, or you're at Walmart. You know, people come to me for prayer. I just pray. And sometimes I got to go to people for prayer, you know. I see Tommy leaving all day. Tommy's just like the same way. But here's what the Bible says. You know, I messed it. So if you mess it, God's mercies are renewed each morning. I've sinned again. If you sin, God's mercies are renewed each morning. I can't seem to get this out of my life. I have this addiction. I have these problems. God's mercies are renewed each morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Get to church. I tell people all the time that they know they need to be here. They come to church. They cry. You know, when they're in church, they feel the anointing of God. They do something for God for a little bit, and then they get out. And I tell them in the nicest way, really, man, you should. I'm on fire. I try to be in church every time I can. But if you can't, make but one service a week, even the communion service, one service a week, even if it's the celebrate recovery, one service a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, make a service, give something to God. You got to start with God somewhere, but you can't keep coming up to God with short on the plate. And it's not about money, it's about your life. You want your life to change, you want things to quit complaining about, give something out of your life to God. For heaven's sake, go to church on Sunday morning and raise your hands and thank God for the breath of life that you got, the car, the home, whatever groceries you got, whether they're from a box of food from the church or whether you just spent $1,000 at IGA. But thank God for something and give your life to God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's the only way to come up in the world. To come up out of the miry clay, to come up out of the depression and the lies of the devil, that you got to be like that the rest of your life. All these things shall be added. The latter part of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What are these things? Jobs, prosperity, health, your kids getting saved, your husband, your wife getting saved, of the right man coming into your life. Maybe you think you don't need God to have the right man or woman come into your life. Well, maybe you handled that before once or twice yourself and you didn't do too good then. Maybe you ought to give God a chance on that next one. And if you got one, you better keep God and be thanking God for what you got, because that's how you keep what you got in life. All right, my last verse, you guys. I told Kelly it was going to be short and sweet, but I've been saving this message since January 1st, I was ready to preach. But then every time I thought about asking her, I thought, nah, these guys get tired one day. Man, they don't ever get tired. I had to tell them, okay, I got a message. Oh, you want to preach this week? Nah, next week, 2 weeks. Give me 2 weeks. I got to put it together. I can't remember everything. And the last verse, I think I'm going to go to Matthew 11, verse 12. You know, we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about when you get saved, you're automatically in the kingdom of God. And, man, the other day I had some money deposited into my bank account. I kept looking for money, and I kept looking for money, and it never came. And one day, like, I punched in a site, and it showed the money had been there since the 24th. I've been spending the money all along. I just didn't know it was that money. And I was wondering why my account never went any further down. But once you get saved, you don't know all of this stuff right off the bat. But you got to start learning how to hear the Holy Spirit and hear those unctions. Be where God. I mean, I think I heard Kelly say that she's seen herself feeding people and doing some of the things we're doing and groceries coming in. And you know what? God will just talk to you. But you got to give them that. You got to stop and seek first the kingdom. You got to stop and give God the time of day. Because if you won't give him the time of day to hear him, you won't even do the things he tells you to do. So it's sort of like, if I know you're not going to listen to me, I'm not going to tell you some counsel until you're ready to listen or until God tells you. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Has anybody had anything stolen from them lately? Has anybody ever been attacked by the devil? Has anybody ever felt depressed, like you didn't want to get out of bed? Has anybody ever thought, why did this happen to me? From the days of John the Baptist until now, and that was written in the Bible thousands of years ago. But let me modernize it. From the days of the Bible when this was wrote to right now, the kingdom of God suffered violence. But if you're going to stop and keep, just lay down and let the devil keep kicking your rear end, it's time to get up in the name of Jesus. And it says, and the violent shall take it by force. You have to force yourself to get up to be here in the morning. You have to force yourself to get up and go to work. You have to force yourself to get up and do anything in life that's going to be successful. And if you don't force yourself, then somebody's going to force you into a bad position, which is the devil. You know, if I wasn't going to be here, I would call Kelly and say, Kelly, I'm not going to be here. But before I got off the phone, I'd probably think, well, I've never missed. You know, what was that reason I'm not going to be here again? Because God makes everything come to me. So if I'm where God wants me to be, all of these other things, if I'm seeking first the kingdom, all these things shall be added unto you. So, but it's not easy. Yeah. You know what? Every Sunday morning, things are going to happen. I remember my wife saying the other day, she came a little late, and I don't know if it was Easter or whatever day she wasn't here, and I didn't have my phone, and I tried to, you know, get, you know, and then she came, and she was a little late, and she said, I was laying in bed, and I was feeling sick, and I heard the devil tell me to stay home, but I heard God say, even though you're running a few minutes late, get up and go to church. Now, she probably could have stayed there. She was feeling sick. You know, she works all night. But she was smart and intelligent enough, number one, to know the devil was trying to rob her of a blessing. Number two, she heard God say, get up and go, even if you're a few minutes late. And number three, she got up and did what God said. And, you know, yeah, there's reasons, there's stuff. I mean, my mother hasn't been in church for a year since COVID. And, you know, if I was real slick, I would probably write a book of excuses and title it My Mom's Reasons Why She Couldn't Go to Church for a Year During the COVID Pandemic. But personally, I don't want to make no money off excuses. I'm more into who's going to kick the devil's tail today and get up in the name of Jesus and do what God's called you to do, like Brenda and Charlie, who was having heart surgery this week but was here in the deacon's meeting and doing what God called them to do. And I don't know too many people that got 84-year-old moms passed through the COVID. A lot of people didn't pass through that, but Brendan Charlie's did, and I seriously believe it's because they were in the secret place. You know, are they perfect? No, none of us were perfect the last time I looked. I mentioned Jeremiah 29:11, and his mercies are renewed each morning. And just go to Psalms 23 right now, and I'm going to close it up. Now, you got to figure out this yourself. Is the Lord your shepherd? Because if the Lord's your shepherd, it says, I shall not want. God is my shepherd. Is there times that where things ain't going as good? Man, you just got to get with God and see where you're off track. Sometimes you just got to wait on the harvest. Sometimes there's a waiting period. I shall not want, but God makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You know, be still and know that I'm God. He says in Psalms 46:10, be still. Take some time. See what God wants you to do. Maybe, you know, you can do what God wants you to do and still be laying in bed with the remote control and just text Pastor Kelly and Pastor Jeremy and say, hey, I love you. I appreciate you. You know, you can call them and tell them that too, or make them lunch or something. But, you know, even just the text that, hey, I appreciate you. You know, that don't take that long. I mean, you know, I've binge watched shows with Cindy and didn't do nothing for a long time. But, you know, I check my messages to see if there's anything going on. But for heaven's sake, there's something everybody can do for God, and he's wanting you to do it. Ernie was quoting this today. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his sake. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But Ernie said it this way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of COVID, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. I have sat with Brother Angelo. I couldn't count how many times where he fed me when I became a Christian. And he would see me eat a hamburger in about 1.2 seconds, and he'd try to figure out, why ain't that guy choking to death? And then he'd say, do you want another hamburger, Sam? And I was figuring somebody was going to come and snag that hamburger, like when I lived in Chicago, you know? I mean, you know, I watched a lot of times people that had left this church that were watching us eat, and he'd tell me, order whatever you want. And, you know, I've never seen him not order whatever he wanted. But not only him, he tells you, where do you want to go eat? And I tell him, where do you guys want to go eat now? Because, man, I don't care. You know, as you know, I'll eat anything, anywhere, anytime. It's just, you know, as long as it's not moving. I'm not going to Japan where my grandson Christopher told me that he was eating a bowl of soup with a date and a piece of shrimp that was still alive bit him on the lip, you know. And I thought, I would have left that girl alone right when the live shrimp bit me that I was eating. I would have thought, man, I'm going to find an American girl to date or something. But thy rod and thy staff comfort me. The Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The very next verse is what I really wanted to get to, but it's all good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, whether I get up and I mess up or whether I get up and I just set up in the name of Jesus and do what God's called me to do. But if you got up and you messed up one day, get up the next day and ask God to forgive you. Apply his mercies. Allow goodness to follow you all the days of your life and do what God wants you to do.